Can you give us a sort of a thumbnail sketch of both Bill Schmidt and Dick Teague, what kind of people they were? Good designers, nice people?
Yeah, they're both nice people. I've known Dick off and on through the years, but never had the opportunity to work with him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know him all that well, but we've always been on, you know, very cordial terms. Mm-hmm. And
how about Bill Schmidt?
Same thing with Bill. Mm-hmm. Bill was, I know Bill a little bit better than I do Dick. And he was had a very aggressive personality, very positive, and I think he impressed people because of his positive manner. Mm-hmm. And he was really...
Was he talented?
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a pretty good job of selling South Bend on this, you know, this new design program. They had they put a lot of time, a lot of thought into it, making all these charts and things to try to sell management, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And anyway, it was kind of pitiful, but we all wanted Studebaker to survive because not only was it our bread and butter, but we felt a loyalty to the place, and we liked living in South Bend and all everything else.
Church was a nice guy.
He was a real nice guy, and a real friendly sort. So after... this thing kept getting more complex all the time, and they brought in, this is about the time, when the Bill Schmidt thing cooled off, then they, they tried to, it just came to an end, I forget how it came to an end.
The merger, the combined corporation is sort of foundered?
Yeah, it sunk, but I can't, there was more to it. I wish Bob Daler was here. He could remember more of this. Anyway, when they decided to try to bring Loy back.
Oh, really? As a last desperate measure?
Yeah, try to bring Loy back.
Whose idea was that?
Lord knows. But I don't think it would have been Churchill, because I don't think Churchill had much use for Loy. I don't think so.
Churchill sort of inherited Loy, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was somebody higher up, and who it would be, I don't know.
Someone on the board, perhaps.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's probably it. So the idea was to bring Loy back, and or no, they went to get Sherwood Egbert. That was it.
Now, who was Sherwood?
He was Sherwood a big
Egbert.
Shot.
I spell that.
EGBERT.
His first name.
Sherwood, SHERWOOD.
Sherwood Egbert, yeah.
Yeah.
Who had he been?
He was had a big position with
he was written up in Fortune magazine as the.
Where was Sherwood Egbert?
He had a big position with McCulloch Corporation.
Is that the chainsaw?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Magnet.
Yeah, and I guess
he built Lake Havoc, Sioux City.
Yeah, and he saved them, I guess.
Oh, he did.
So they figured that he was the man to save Studebaker, so they called him in, and and he in turn got Loy to come back. He came in and he viewed what Bob Daler and I were doing. That's
yes.
How it was.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
So he got Loy back, and Loy. I think Egbert also got, Loy Egbert also did this. He got, my mind is getting worse and worse. The guy in Milwaukee, big designer in Milwaukee, you know.
Brooke Stevens, yes.
Right. He got Loy, and then he got Brooke Stevens, so we didn't have enough cooks in the back. And then one day, one morning I came into work. They were sitting in a row, gazing at our model with glum expressions. It was Loy, and Egbert, and Stevens,
mm-hmm.
and I think Gene Hartig. Mm-hmm. Gene Hartig was the only good guy in the bunch, as far as I was concerned.
Gene Hartig?
Gene Hartig, yeah.
Oh yeah.
H-A-R-D-I-G.
He was their chief engineer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so right then I knew that things did. The jig was up, you know. So, sure enough, they canceled our program, and shortly after all that, one day they announced they were going to bring in some Stevens models from Milwaukee for evaluation. But we were, they gave instructions that we, that is the Studebaker designers, were not to see these models.
Right.
That made me so mad that I blew my top and I stormed out of the place and I kicked one of these sand ballasted ashtrays and the sand went all, God, I was so mad. It was an awful thing to do, you know. Not let us see the model. Here we've been working to, on the cars and then we weren't allowed to see them. So.
But before that, that's interesting, I asked about that a bit. Before that, you had, you and Bob Daler had redone the Lark.
Yeah, that was.
That was very successful. That 62 Lark was very successful, wasn't it?
Yeah, moderately so.
Moderately so.
Yeah. But then then after that, we got in on this all new program that Randy gave us the free hand on.
Yeah.
And we developed a sedan and a station wagon. And in fact, we designed two cars. One had only a 100-inch wheelbase. And the other had 108, which was the old wheelbase of the Lark.
Uh-huh.
And we were quite proud of them, especially the bigger one.
Uh-huh.
And but the management kept watering it down. They sliced it down the middle and took about 3 inches out of the overall width, which didn't do it any good.
Uh-huh.
They took a lot of the roll and the body sides, the tumble home,
right,
out. So it ended up being quite mediocre, and something I really wasn't proud to say that I'd had anything to do with.
And what was that
and
model?
That was the model that was designed for 1962,
yeah,
the one I showed
the 62
pictures
Lark
of. Yeah.
Redo. Yeah.
No, that was a all new car. That's the one where they spent $4 million, and we thought that it passed the point of no return on.
Oh, yes.
And they were going to build it, but that was when Egbert came in and shot it down.
I want to hear about that in some detail, but let me ask you about an episode that happened to you just before this. You mentioned that you were laid off for a point in 1958.
Yeah.
What happened there? You had to find employment.
That's right, and I ended up going to Chicago and working for Dave Chapman Incorporated.
Who was he?
He was an industrial designer in Chicago.
How did you hear about the...
Well, I didn't hear about a position. I went to Chicago looking for work, and I thought, well, I'll try my hand at industrial design.
Uh-huh.
So I just walked into his office, and he hired me.
Really?
But,
What were you working on for him?
Oh, gosh, a number of things. Water heaters,
mm-hmm,
boats,
mm-hmm,
outboard motors, refrigerators.
Mm-hmm. Air conditioning?
No.
They gave me furnaces and air conditioners as well.
Oh, that's right then. I guess I did.
Yeah. What happened there? Did you like
them? Well, they gave me the title of project engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no more idea than a man in the moon what a project engineer was. And they'd send me off. I'd take a cab and I'd go to, I think we had an account with Montgomery Ward.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to Montgomery Ward and I'd talk to the manager there, whoever it was, and to see what they wanted in the way of the new products. And I was supposed to come up with a miraculous looking water heater and a refrigerator, and I worked on those darn water heaters. But I do have the satisfaction. I go back to these plant stores now, and the damn water heaters are no different now than they were when I was trying to change them.
Back to Montgomery Ward.
They expected you to be to pull a rabbit out of the hat, I guess, and come up with something that was just a box to begin with.
Uh-huh.
What can you do with it except hang junk on it? And they didn't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
So that was a fiasco. I finally one day I just said, look, I don't know what you want of me, and I don't seem to be able to give you what you want, so I think I'd better quit. So that was after 9 months.
Uh-huh.
I just left.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what they were thinking. I designed some boats which I thought were rather good, but they didn't like them because they had showed too much automotive influence.
Uh-huh.
And so.
Well, that must have been, at least that was an interesting
episode. Yeah, it was. Every weekend.
Every week.
In a little hotel not far from working at a third class hotel.
Uh-huh.
And every weekend I'd hop on the train if I didn't drive that week.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hop on the train, come back to South Bend.
Where
the
family
was, yeah.
Kept your house
in
it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
After 9 months, I found another job when I got. I've been awful lucky with finding jobs.
That's great.
Awful
that?
Lucky. I came back to South Bend and I got a job with another little industrial design, just a little, called Good Design Associates. And I worked for them for, I don't know how long, maybe a year or so. And they weren't, I wasn't cutting the mustard there.
Well, no,
I guess once you're an automobile designer, you're just about it, I guess. So.
You also mentioned that, who ran that industrial design outfit then?
You mean in South Bend?
Yeah.
A man by the name of Christensen.
How do you spell that?
C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-O-N.
S-E-N.
S-E-N, I guess.
Was he a pretty good design manager?
Yeah, I suppose he was. And I forget his right-hand man's name, one I worked directly for.
What accounts did he have? What kind of accounts did he have?
Well, yeah, that's, that period is sort of blank in my mind. What accounts did he have? Nothing very interesting.
At this point, you get a mysterious call from American Motors. How'd that come about? And what was the occasion?
Call from American Motors.
Well, this is when you finally got back to cars. You said you worked for a couple of industrial designs office, and now you just have to go with American Motors briefly.
Yeah, and I don't remember how it came about, but
who was there that you knew?
I can't remember the boss's name. He was a strange person.
See, in 59, George Romney would have been there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he was still there. I used to ride on the elevator with him once in a while.
Did you? Dick Teague
hadn't
gotten up there yet, had he?
No. Mm-hmm. Who was it? It was,
you said this was about 1960.
Dick Teague would know who I'm trying to think of, too, but I can't.
Yeah, well, it isn't really that important. What sort of work did you do there? Every year.
Uh-huh.
Did you commute then from South Bend?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Trained out on the weekends.
Yeah, that was a tough period.
Then you got a call from one of your old associates.
Danica Stuvaker again.
Who's that?
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Randy Farrow had been called back to Studebaker and they made him the head of styling. And Randy called me and asked me if I'd like to come back. And I said, well, if you'll make me your assistant, I'll come back. He agreed to it, so I went back again, principally because my family was there and I was tired of commuting. And I figured, well, you know, it'll give me a, maybe things will break.
Mm-hmm.
Always hope.
Mm-hmm.
And
but of course, he didn't.
See, this is where it gets kind of garbled up. That when I went back to Studebaker, that was when we got into this new car program.
Right, yeah. Working with Bob Daler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when Egbert came into
the By place. The way, as a technical point here, you've got Farrow spelled F-A-U-R-O-T.
F-A-U-R-O. Well, that must be.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Even if you did spell it far out.
Yeah. F-A-U.
Okay, so that's when you hooked up with Bob Daler and the Lark, the new 1962 Lark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And although that was a moderate success, someone decided to call in Sherwood Egbert. Or had he been there? Was the Lark produced under his aegis?
No. See, this thing gets so confused because they tried to. Every kind of thing they go off on one tangent, and then they change their mind and try to go this way.
How was it from your standpoint? What was happening at your level? Confusion.
Utter confusion. Yeah.
Anyway, one day you come in and you see, even though you thought the 36, the 62, which had started out to be a handsome car, it was all chopped up and hacked up and altered and cobbled by the executives.
Yeah,
so it really wasn't anything you were proud of.
No, right.
You and Bob Daler must have been heart sick.
Yeah, we were.
They did do it.
I don't think the cars had turned out. Well, I think it would have sold better than the Lark had, but I don't think it would have been a screaming success because it just didn't have
the stubby chopped off.
Yeah.
Pushed together.
Yeah. Too boxy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you described here that Egbert had axed the program even though they spent $4 million on it.
Yeah, they just threw $400 out
Even so, it's nice to see your some of your products on the road, but something happened then. What happened that blew the whole thing apart for you? You've described it briefly, but could you give us a little more elaborate elaboration on this episode when you come in one morning and you see who looking at your models?
Well, it was shortly after that we were all gotten called together and given the sad story that it was not to be a new car for 62. That was when we ended up with facelifting the present Lark again.
I see.
That's where it was.
Yeah.
Facelift on facelift on facelift.
Facelift, yeah, right. It's like a palimpsest, you keep adding things to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or redoing it, yeah. So one morning you came to work and you saw this conference of industrial design giants.
Yeah.
But who are they?
Well, that was the people I mentioned.
What's it? Tell me. Yeah, elaborate on that a bit.
Loy and Stevens.
Egbert had hired Loy as a consultant again.
Mm-hmm. And Stevens is another.
And he asked Brooke Stevens to come down and help out too.
Yeah.
And they were all there looking critically at your model.
Yeah, there were dour looks on their faces.
What finally happened? What was the upshot of that?
Well, the upshot was we threw out the whole program and we're going to facelift the Lark again.
Mm-hmm.
So
throw out that whole program that you and Daler had had labored so long on,
right,
spent $4 million.
Yeah. We got shot down just like that.
And so what did that mean to you in terms of employment?
Well, it ultimately meant that I kicked over the ashtray.
How soon after that? How long did it take?
Oh, it was a matter of a few months, I guess.
Was it?
Yeah.
And what was the situation that prompted you to explode?
Well, it was when they brought these models, the full-size car models, down from Milwaukee and wouldn't let us see them.
That was Stevens' work?
Yeah.
Why would they let you see
them? I don't know. It was just we were just outraged by it. So I blew my top. Nobody else did, but
really?
Uncharacteristic
for you. You're rather mild-mannered.
Yeah, I thought so, too, but boy,
really,
it takes a lot to set me off once I go off.
But you felt that was deceitful and
it was just a lousy trick. I mean, here we'd slaved on the damn car trying to save the corporation just like everybody else was,
mm-hmm.
and then we were treated like garbage, like we didn't count. Don't let those guys see it.
Yeah,
what we've done.
You might somehow steal.
Yeah,
those immaculate conceptions. That,
yeah, it was just a whoever. I don't know who instigated it, but it was a rotten thing to do. I still think so. I still get mad when I think about it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So
you said the hell with it and you kicked over.
And
the
of course, next day, I guess it was, I got a call from Randy and I knew what it was.
What did he say? Oh, really? You were telling me that was it?
Yeah.
Did he tell you why?
Well, he didn't
have to. Oh, you mean after your blow-up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You knew that was the end.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I decided I was going to quit anyway.
Yeah. Well, what happened then?
Well, that was when I ended up in Chicago, I guess.
What about Palm Springs?
Well, that was something entirely separate for me. That was with the Loy group again. Bob Andrews, another guy that I'd never met, and John Epstein. John Epstein.
Did you know him at all?
Yeah.
What was
he was a likable guy, but he was no designer. He even admitted he was. He was sort of Loy's leg man.
Okay. His gopher.
Yeah, his gopher.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a lot of fun. He used to come and he liked to go out and drink with us, and he was a good play. Good boy, old boy, but we never knew exactly what his function was except to be Loy's gopher.
Uh-huh.
And he was there in Palm Springs with Bob Andrews and I can't think of the other guy's name. Younger fellow.
Bob Andrews. Tell us about Bob Andrews. What was he like?
He was a real nice guy and good looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always very friendly with Bob and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd known him through Bob Daler.
Yeah.
And we'd known him through the years,
He worked on the Lark, or I mean the Hawks, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The Golden Hawks, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I guess that was his...
Was he one of the ones that stayed with Loy when Burke...
Yeah.
He and Epstein and...
I can't remember exactly when Bob Andrews came into the picture. But,
late in the story, I think.
Bob was like Iowa in that respect. He floated around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember exactly when he came in, but...
Interesting business there. You have a lot of movement with the Studebaker Packard, Egbert Lowy recombination.
I didn't sit still very long.
Okay. You've left Studebaker. You've shaken the dust finally from your feet from Studebaker, and you go back to one of your first loves.
Oh, that came about. I wrote Cliff Voss a letter. Long, sad letter about how I was out of work, and I had had managerial positions, but I would be willing to go back and work on the board again, and so forth and so on. And I got a phone call from him a day or two later and said, come on up, I think I've got a spot for you.
Really?
So that's how I got back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an unhappy period because...
Why, what happened?
Well, they was so different. It was no longer the camaraderie and the warm atmosphere that there had been before, and now they were a big, organized, departmentalized, all kinds of titles, just like Ford and, General Motors.
You described it as cold and impersonal.
Yeah.
So that pretty much it?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So...
Who was there besides Cliff Voss, who apparently was a nice guy?
Oh, Cliff was a wonderful guy.
Who else were there? Who were some of the guys that made it cold and impersonal?
Well, there were a lot of people who came over from Ford.
Oh,
now they're shifting over from Ford to Chrysler.
Was Schmidt there at this time?
No. No, but there was a man by the name of Colin Neal.
Oh, what about Colin Neal? Tell me.
Have you heard of him?
Heard of him, yeah. Huh? Yeah.
He came, they brought him over from Ford.
Colin.
Yeah.
Neale.
Yeah.
He was British, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What
yes, he had the British accent.
Uh-huh.
And he was in charge of the interiors. And
this was in 1962, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lasted there 7 years.
That's pretty good.
I don't know how I did it. It was an unhappy year.
What about Colin Neale? What was he supposed to be doing?
Well, he was head of interiors.
Uh-huh.
And they put me in interiors. And I never was very happy being in interiors.
Except the dashboard.
Yeah, and
how was he work for? Was he
not too good? He was. He sort of gave the impression of being very arrogant. That's the word. Yeah.
Slight and sense of superiority because of his British.
Yes, I think so. So I worked for him. Then I worked for Bill. Bill Mitchell, not Bill. His last name was Mitchell. But it couldn't be Bill.
No.
Yeah. Or a different one, at least.
Anyway,
his name was Mitchell.
What was his position?
He had exteriors, and I don't even recall what studio it was. Everything was done in separate studios.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up at the final, I think I worked in about three different positions. And at the end, I was in an ornamentation where all they did was nameplates and lettering configuration of instruments, calibrations, and all the instrumentation for the instrument panels.
Oh, really?
That was kind of tedious work.
Yeah, a lot of detail and work.
Yeah, so finally one day, Chrysler was in terrible shape, not as bad as Studebaker, I guess.
Did you know Elwood Engel there?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about Elwood. What was he like?
Well, nobody ever really knew. Everybody used to call him the 50-year-old teenager.
Why was that?
Because he was crazy.
Yeah.
He'd get in his car and you'd hear this ripping or burning of rubber, and he'd be
really?
Whistling out of the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
But
he was a former modeler, wasn't he? At least he liked them.
A modeler?
Well, he liked to work with clay.
I didn't know that. I never knew him very well. He came from Ford, of course.
Uh-huh.
And he was quiet, hard to get to know. I never got to know him.
Uh-huh.
But
what kind of models did you work on from 62 to 70? It must have been some interesting final products.
I remember there was a lot of work on convertible tops I was involved with.
Uh-huh.
And like usual, it wasn't, at that point, and I was getting pretty tired.
Were you?
Yeah, because I'd seen so much and.
Been in so many situations, yeah.
Started to get a burnout.
And for the most part, you seem to have been involved in situations that sort of ended, or at least some of the time, it sort of ended kind of tragically, in the sense that.
Yeah, I remember one time I was talking with Elwood, I guess. I got on the elevator with him one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I took care of those guys down at Studebaker. Now you guys are next.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Studebaker went out of business, you know.
Oh, I see. And who was he talking to?
I was talking to Elwood Engel.
Oh, I see. Oh, you were talking to him.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
And he said, well, you're not going to put us, you're not going to get us, run us on the rocks or something.
So, in a sense, you sort of got the feeling that you were presiding at the demise of several companies.
Yeah. And of course, Chrysler almost went under.
Well, they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
They had some bad management there, too.
Yeah.
In the meantime, who were some of the guys at Chrysler that you worked with that you remember specifically?
Well,
who was your supervisor?
I'm trying to think who it was in the inner ornamentation. It was Tom, somebody begins with a P. I can't remember his last name.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of it the other day, and. There was Everett Dunning.
Mm-hmm.
He died a while ago.
D-U-N-N-I-N-G.
Right. And there was Don Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Don Butler is quite an automotive historian. That's one of his favorite hobbies is automotive history. And I think he still connected with that. He's retired, but I think he still has a connection at Chrysler for their
historic unit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the automotive companies have been quite lax about. They've had a very unsentimental, cold attitude.
Haven't they, though?
Yeah.
Except Ford.
Ford has been much better.
Yeah. We have the Ford archives at our institute, and they've been better than others in their record programs. They've thrown a lot of material away that they didn't think it was necessary to keep, but they've kept the so-called historical materials.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. That's good. Chrysler belatedly, I think, went from Walter P. Chrysler's tool chest to saving a lot of the photographs and the drawings that they had accumulated, I think.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they had Chrysler archives.
Well, that's something that Don was connected with that somehow.
Don Butler.
Yeah.
Who else? Do you remember anybody else that sticks in your memory?
Don Della Rosa.
Tell us about Don.
He came over from Ford.
Did he?
And I think he's still heading up the styling, as far as I know.
He's down in Carlsbad, Chrysler Pacific.
He is. Oh, yeah. I saw him, yeah.
Yeah.
Where did I see a picture of him? Anyway, I wonder who's in Detroit then.
A young man named Tom Gale. Do you remember Tom Gale?
No.
He was a young man on the staff. Do you remember Dick McAdam?
Oh, yes.
What?
I never got to know him very well.
Wasn't he fairly high up when you were there?
Yeah, he was running the place.
Yeah, right.
The only thing, I used to have a sailboat out on Kent Lake.
Did you? Where's that?
And it's between Ann Arbor and Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 20 miles, I think. On the days I was going to sail, I used to have my old clothes in the car, and I'd run outside, I'd change my clothes in the car and
mm-hmm.
beat it out to the lake to do some sailing. And Dick used to go out, he was a catamaran sailor.
Oh, was he?
And,
did he come with you?
No, I just used to see him out there.
Uh-huh.
And
was he a pretty good designer?
I never got a chance to know. I didn't get to know him at all. He was
went into administration.
He was quiet and he...
Now, Don Della Rosa, when did he come? He didn't know where you were there.
No, that was later, yeah.
But Dick McAdam was there.
Yes, yeah, I think he was, yeah. I left in 70. 70.
72.
No.
70, yeah.
70, yeah.
Why'd you leave?
Got laid off.
What happened?
Well, they were laying people off right and left.
Really?
And I was one of them.
Picked up the dragon.
Yeah. So then I got lucky again. I called up Jim Anger. Oh, no. A guy by the name of Starkey Hoot. H-O-O-T.
Hoot?
Hoot, yeah.
What's his first name?
Starkey, we called him. I don't know what his real name was.
Mm-hmm. So So a you met up with a gentleman named Starkey, S-T-A-R-K-E-Y, or
yeah,
I-E,
yeah.
Hoot, H-O-O-T. What was his...
Well, it was not long after I was laid off at Chrysler, I got this phone call from Starkey, and he said, how would you like to go to work for American Motors?
Now, who was Starkey?
He was working for Jim Anger,
and
who had the Jeep
department. The Jeep department at American Motors.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Had you known Jim?
No.
You had known?
No.
And
never even heard of him.
Nor had
and,
you known Hood?
Oh, yeah, I knew him.
Oh, you did?
Because he used to work at Chrysler here.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, he asked me how I'd like to go to work for American Motors. I said, well, I might as well. I've worked for just about everybody else.
You had had a short stint with American Motors, hadn't you, for a year?
Oh, that's true.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't.
But you
that wasn't
was so
Jeep.
Unmemorable. You almost forgot.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't for Jeep though.
No.
So anyhow.
So what had happened to American was the interim. They had the Jeep was pretty much the only car, the only thing it was selling, was it?
It was selling. It was the best selling thing.
Best selling. Yeah, and that was based in Toledo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went over and what happened was, Starkey admitted this to me that. He couldn't cut the mustard with Jim Anger. He was asked to do a lot of tight photo retouch work, which he wasn't used to. Starkey always had a rather loose technique, and he just
mm-hmm.
was no good on tight stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he said, I think you could probably do it. So I said, he said, why don't you go over and talk to Jim Anger? So I went over, and he hired me, and I
you
stayed there.
The styling department at Jeep.
Yeah.
The design department.
So I stayed there as long as I wanted to, and then I quit. It was about 2 years.
What sort of work did you do there?
Well, there I was doing mostly the calibrations and the numerals and all that on the instruments. In fact, the instrument panel in the 72 or 73 Jeep, I guess, is those graphics were all mine on that.
The Wagoneer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And. At that time, Jim had designed a little car, a little two-seater. I don't know, that he was very proud of, and they were taking it around the country. Mm-hmm. This is nothing. This is just a side.
Yeah, what was that?
And they were transporting it across the country. I don't remember from where to where,
mm-hmm.
but the van it was in caught fire, and the car burned up.
Oh my God.
And that was the end of that.
Was it an experimental small
yeah,
car?
It was an original design, a little one-off, little show car.
Hmm.
I don't even remember the name of the thing, and I can't even picture it in my mind what it looked like.
Hmm.
But it was very odd. It didn't look like
Anger had done it as a
yeah.
personal project? What size was it?
It was about the size of a Corvette.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a sport car then? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
A two-seater.
And he was hoping to get some
yeah, I was hoping to interest the management in building it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But once it was gone, that was the end of it.
Yeah,
well,
I never tried to revive it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember the name of the thing, but I do remember that it was quite an oddball. It was kind of hard to evaluate. Yeah.
You can't remember much about the shape?
No, it's still a blank in my mind.
Was it small, intermediate, or?
Yeah, well, like I say, about like a Corvette.
Like a Corvette, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a small, sporty car.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What about the Wagoneer? Was that one of your favorites? Did you
no.
Didn't care for that?
No, the whole Jeep line didn't interest me.
Really?
No. And I.
Why not?
Well,
you felt it was sort of
after all, what is a Jeep? It looks like it was cobbled together in the backyard, you know.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it hasn't changed over the years. And for what it was, you know, it was a little military vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was ideal, but not too exciting to design, you know.
I can imagine, yeah.
No.
I often wonder what would have happened if Ford had kept that and kept the plant, produced it right there at Willow Run rather than having American Motors, the first Kaiser
yeah.
and then American Motors do it.
It's probably the only thing that's kept American Motors afloat, that and there, this Renault connection, I guess, is
right, yeah.
Is
even so, they're losing millions.
Yeah.
But they keep getting, the number of millions they're losing keeps going down, so I guess they're thinking
yeah.
eventually they'll...
I never got a chance to talk with Dick Teague about why he left, but I kind of suspect that he knew it couldn't last too much longer. So
he was getting tired.
It's sad.
Been long. He lasted.
Yeah,
well, long career too.
He probably had the longest career of anybody in the
yeah,
industry
right.
as a head man.
So you felt, even though American Motors, so you spent 2 years in American Motors working on Jeeps and Comanches and Cherokees, and just, I mean, Jeeps and Cherokees, and you thought that was pretty much it.
Oh, gosh, I tell you, toward the end there, I was so bored. Oh, God, oh, it was terrible. I just, I could hardly see straight, you know.
You hardly bring yourself together and go to work anymore.
Try to look like I was enthusiastic. It wasn't easy.
This is why you're a late riser. You find all those years you had to get up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's great. That's so, marvelous. It's a great feeling not to have to get up in the morning, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So Lou and I decided we'd buy a travel trailer.
Lou?
Yeah, Louise.
Louise, uh-huh. Yeah.
And tour the country, so we did.
Kids were grown, more
yeah.
or less.
We went back and cross, back and forth across the country, I don't know how many times.
Really?
Up into Canada and down through Mexico, down as far as Acapulco.
And all during your travels, you would see bits and pieces of the cars that you designed.
Oh, that it was a really fun way to live, though.
Oh, God, it was, yeah. Yeah. What, did you get a Gulfstream?
No, we had a Holiday Rambler.
What's that?
It's a travel trailer.
Did you tow it?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, totally.
Totally, okay.
We liked that system the best because we'd drive into a strange town, we'd find a trailer park and get rid of the trailer and then tour around with the tow car.
Mm-hmm.
Was, if you have a motor home, you're tied down.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
And you found a lot of interesting, nice people in your travels?
Oh, yeah. Sure, all over the country, yeah.
Well, did you ever regret leaving this, as you say, this long and turbulent career in the automobile industry?
No, sir.
Never looked back, then?
No, never looked back.
You made some good friends, and you'd had some interesting experiences.
Especially the old ones, the ones that I started out with.
The old Chrysler gang.
But I think the place I had the most fun was Studebaker.
Was it?
Because there we were a little closely knit bunch,
mm-hmm.
and we felt that it was our baby, and we were doing it. And,
yeah.
But, of course, that didn't last very long. But.
What an incredible fiasco.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, it seems almost incredible that it happened.
I know it.
Supposing you have to sit back and, like I'm asking you to do, and say, look back on your career and say, what would you say? Was it something you're glad you got into?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't think anybody with as limited an education as I've had could do as well or do any better.
It's incredible, really, that you didn't have except for a bit of mechanical drawing, you had no technical
and art courses.
They
didn't mean anything.
Of course, that's a nice melding of discipline and creativity.
Yes.
And so it blossomed in your case.
Well, what I was going to say is I don't think anybody could do the same thing that I did today, because everything now is so regimented and so high-tech, you know.
Yeah,
and
right, yeah.
Organized and structured, and this wouldn't work.
But did you do occasionally hark back to those fun days?
Oh, sure.
When you had a lot of camaraderie with.
Sure.
And you keep in touch with some.
Well, I haven't done a very good job. I saw Buzz about, it's been 2 years ago. Buzz Grissinger.
Uh-huh.
I was in '83. I went up there to judge. Just another thing McMinn did for me.
Yeah.
You know, I met him. I met McMinn back in 1936.
Did you?
He and
Strother McMinn.
Yeah. He and Jack Foster came to see us at our house in Royal Oak.
Really?
And McMinn was driving a customized 36 Ford that he had customized himself.
Yeah, he said he couldn't afford whatever he was working on at the time. He had to go out and customize a Ford.
Did he say that?
Something like that, too.
Yeah. And then I didn't see him for years and years and years. So
what was the occasion for their visit? Had you known them?
We invited them for dinner or something. I don't remember what that was.
You worked with John, hadn't you?
Yeah.
And McMinn was maybe having a short stint at Studebaker in those days?
I don't know.
Royal Oak, who were you working for then?
Chrysler.
Oh, did McMinn stop by at Chrysler for a time?
No, he not
had a choppy career, too.
I know he did. That's why I'd like to hear his recording to know more about him. But, yeah, he's a guy I've known for years, but never got to know very well.
And then suddenly, a few years ago, he and John called up, and what did they have to say?
You mean when they came to see us?
Oh, no, I mean the second time.
Second time?
The judge.
Oh, that. Of course, when I quit American Motors.
Well, I assume it was the second time. You said you didn't see him for many years.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think if there was other time.
Yeah.
When I quit American Motors, I wrote him and told him, I guess, that I was...
That you're ending your career?
Yeah, and they were coming out here to retire. And then I instigated it. I called him called him up and I met him at a car meet, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then every 2 or 3 years I might see him, but that's
what
been the way it's
was
been.
It?
Well, they've had them down at the Queen Mary. They've had classic car meets down there, and they've had them out at the Ambassador Hotel out on Wilshire Boulevard. And
Pebble Beach.
I never got to Pebble Beach. That's
okay.
The king of them all, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I never got up there.
But Shuther McMinn would call you and ask you to be honorary judge?
He did once for the Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
Was it?
And I was invited. I would have been invited. He tells me that once you get on that staff, they call you every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they did call me next year, but my back was so damn bad that
I
had to turn it down.
And so I haven't called you since? Huh?
No.
You should drop my note and tell them you're back in circulation. Again.
But I'm not really.
Or are you back still?
No, yeah, I'd be in misery.
Yeah.
So,
what sort of an old car meet was it?
It was classic cars,
meet?
Yeah.
The owners of the restored classic cars would bring them in to be judged by the.
Yeah,
the
just like the Greenfield Village deal.
Yeah, the old car festival.
Yeah, yeah.
What car caught your fancy that year?
Oh, there's so darn many of them, I couldn't just pick one.
You voted for.
Well, I see what classes. Oh, I had the unrestored and.
No, more precisely, what were your favorites that year? Remember one or two that stood out?
No.
See any Chrysler's or Studebakers, or aren't they called classic cars?
Well, the 32 Studebaker I like.
Did you?
Nothing any later than that. And the ones that, these 53s and 54s, there's hardly any of them left because they didn't last, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were they poorly built as well as engineered?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Rust out all around the cone.
Oh, my God.
I did see a couple of pretty good ones at Greenfield Village one year. I can't remember when it was. But I couldn't pick out any one car because. And then the last one I went to, McMinn was there, was down in Long Beach also. And but I don't get to see him very often. I wish
yeah.
he lived closer, yeah. Because he's the only one I know out here that's a car nut that
mm-hmm.
I can talk with.
Nobody at Leisure World that.
Not that I know of. Although it's possible, I see a couple of 36 Fords stuck in the carports around here.
That
everybody
find out who they are.
Yeah, they're under a tarpaulin. But
yeah. Oh, seek out the owner.
Yeah, I should do that.
Yeah. Well, you enjoyed your retirement. You traveled a lot,
for 5 years we lived in the trailer.
Did you?
Yeah.
And the kids were all away in college at that time.
Or they're all through at that.
But I mean, at that time, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you decided to take roots. And how did you hear about Florida? What attracted you to Florida?
To Florida?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
How'd you get down here?
Florida? You mean California?
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
You travel around so much.
California, a different state. Yeah, California. How'd you get down to California?
Well, all my life I wanted to live in Southern California.
Did you?
Oh, sure.
All right. Why is that? Because of
the climate. Yeah, I hate the Michigan climate.
You didn't care for the snow and cold.
No, and the older I got, the worse I hated it. Shoveling out the car out of the driveway.
Right, yeah.
And then, too, you try to plan, you're going to do something next Tuesday. The chances are you're not going to do it. It's going to be raining, you know.
Right.
But out here, my God, it's just marvelous. I have to remind myself every once in a while how lucky I am.
Yeah.
But
especially you got a wife who lived through all this all these years. Louise, you'd be congratulated too.
Okay.
She sure
it's
is.
It's been quite a time, hasn't it?
It was traumatic at times, but it turned out to be a wonderful life. I was very lucky too.
That's good. The kids turned out nicely.
Very.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, if you were asked to sum up your design philosophy, what would you think? What principles of design carried you through this rather, as you say, turbulent career?
Well, I probably stick to the old principle that I think, you know, it's been said so often that it's become rather hackneyed, I guess. But I fairly believe in the principle that form follows function, or function should follow the form, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, which?
Huh?
Well, which? You think form follows function, that was...
Yeah.
It should...
In other words, a thing should be designed to do what it's supposed to do, and not be extreme. It's like we went through these awful periods, especially the General Motors dream cars, where they tried to make cars look like airplanes, and,
yeah.
You know, the Sabre and those...
Right.
And that big fiasco of Harley Earls down at Watkins Glen one year when he...
What was that?
Oh, He had this LeSabre, you remember the LeSabre? That was a big thing with it. Big fins around.
Monstrous at the front end.
Yeah, he had that down at Watkins Glen, and he was gonna be.
No, Watkins Glen, where was that?
That was in New York.
And that, New York State, and that was a.
The Finger Lakes region there.
It was a lovely place, but also a famous racing.
Well, that's where they had the Sports Car Club of America had its original racetrack. And Harley Earl thought it would be, you know, a good promotion for the company to take the Sabre down there and give the boys a thrill driving it around the track, this great big boat, you know.
What happened?
Well, this was so, I really felt sorry for the guy. Right on Main Street there was a bang, the thing smoked out of it.
Really?
He couldn't move it. Yeah, everybody roared laughing. It was, yeah, I felt so sorry for the
he
guy.
He stopped, huh?
Yeah, he was Harley Earl, you know.
Yeah.
Big 6'4" giant, you know.
He was out there
kicking
the
good,
huh?
Boy, I bet he turned the air blue, you know.
Finally get it going there,
I don't remember. All I remember is an explosion and smoke. And
I felt so embarrassed for him.
Yeah, that was awful, you know. But
well, those show cars, I guess he felt they served both a public relations function and in the best of cases, an engineering and styling workshop.
Yeah, that's what they were, yeah. I was sorry when it ended because it was always interesting. Always.
I wondered if you didn't have some lingering remorse that weren't back with it.
No, because especially when I see what's coming out, you know, on the road now. If I had all the money in the world and I could go out and buy any car I wanted, I'd have trouble picking out. Like in the sports cars, one day I see something I like and then I get cold on it. And I just don't, as far as the family cars go, I like the Audi 5000. Are you familiar with that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice.
And its American cousin, the Taurus.
Yeah, that Taurus looks kind of fat, I think.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. But the Audi 5000 is a. Well, I think that's pretty nice. And then in the sports cars, I like
the. What principles of the Audi 5000?
Well, it's very the flush glass.
A responsive cord in your.
It's very clean. It has a nice balance to it, mm-hmm. and the glass, flush glass, you know, or nearly flush.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's quite a pleasing four-door sedan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sports cars, I like the Mazda RX-7 quite a bit, the new one.
Isn't that, especially the new one?
Yeah,
great.
The new one is pretty nice. Yeah.
Still has the rotary engine.
Yeah, that kind of is. Everything going in one direction kind of
right.
Sounds smooth.
Yes. What else?
Well, I like a Corvette.
Yes, especially the new one. Isn't
yeah.
Now, our purists, we think that's an abomination. Corvettes of the late 50s are the best.
Oh, no, I don't know why they'd say that.
Yeah.
No, that was. I think it is closed, isn't it? Yeah, that's a screen door. Oh, it was open.
Well, yeah. Voices carry in this,
yeah.
This clear air down here. What did you regret the most? Looking back on it, what episode or episodes do you wish that you would have been able to carry? What projects do you think would you have liked to have carried through the fruition?
Well, I can't think of anything.
Uh-huh. Of course, that project you and Daler worked on, you were.
Well, that.
You thought that was.
Yeah, if that had gone through, that would have been sort of a nice cap for the. My years at work.
Yeah.
That's
actually the first time that you had gotten to be a principal, along with another good man on a design.
Yeah.
Rather.
Very, very few designers have had the satisfaction of seeing something they did go in production.
Yeah.
Now, people like Exner got a number of cars built, and Gordon Burig, and MacMim too. He's had custom. Some beautiful custom bodies that he's done.
Yeah.
I gotta call him up and see what he's doing these days.
Well, in the case of Exner and Berry, though, of course, they had their frustrations too.
They both, everybody does, I'm sure.
But
they went back to Duesenberg days, you know.
Yeah, right.
And
Exner came out of General Motors and went with Studebaker, did he not?
Exner was only 2 years older than I am. I don't know how he got.
Who's that?
I say Exner was only 2 years older than I am, so I don't know how he got, but I suppose that's possible, just at the end there of Duesenberg.
Oh, you're talking about Gary.
And Exner,
and
too.
And Exner, too, yeah. Oh, I see. He had been with Duesenberg before General Motors, huh?
I think I'm getting confused. I think, no, X was with Lowy. And, of course Bury was with...
Or Duesenberg, yeah, mid to late 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
But Exner had some problems with Lowy, too, didn't
he? Oh, yeah, they did.
What was that all about?
I don't remember what that was all about. They had a big falling out.
Did you ever hear any stories
about... And you didn't dare mention the name of Lowy around Exner.
Really?
No, he...
It was a conspiracy and night meetings and keeping designs away from people, wasn't that?
Yeah, it was very, very, very weird.
Actually, I believe Exner was involved with trying to get Lowy out of the...
Yes, I think
so. Yeah, and Lowy got wind of it and said, what's going on? You
know, yeah.
I've got a viper in my bosom.
Yeah. Exner said something you haven't heard the last of me. Or
so he went to work for... So he went to work with Studebaker while the Lowy unit still had a contract.
I think that's right.
And he began working on a separate...
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
Unbeknownst to Lowy until he found out about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the way it was. You can see why Lowy was a bit perturbed.
I can imagine. Sort of the credo you live by, you've talked
well,
about.
Well, design, being a designer is a heartbreaking experience because you know how it is. Every a doctor is respected and scientists are respected for what
lawyers
they know.
Lawyers are well paid.
Lawyers are well paid, but everybody is a designer, you know.
Yeah.
So that from that standpoint, it's very heartbreaking. But if your heart and soul is in it, and it's what you have to do, I think you should go for it. You should.
Uh-huh.
But
you recommend that they try to get into a legitimate design school.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, because you certainly can't do it the old way, where you just kind of fall into it.
You had some problems with respect in the early days. You were considered decorators by the engineers.
Yeah, right. I think that condition has improved, and they're no longer called stylists, which I think was an improvement.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they call them designers now. I guess.
Designers. Uh-huh.
Well, how do they get along with the? How do they differentiate a styling designer from a mechanical designer?
They call them design engineers.
Oh, yeah.
Each design department has its own design engineers now.
Oh, you mean the styling department has its own
design engineer. I mean, there are design engineers that work directly with the styling with the design.
Well, what is a guy that's not an engineer? Just
well, he's a designer.
But they don't call him an engineer, just a designer.
No. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, that's
I mean, if he doesn't have engineering training, they wouldn't call him. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said there's a designer. There are the body engineers, of course, still.
Yeah.
And then there's the design engineers, and then there's the designers.
Uh-huh.
So the design engineers.
Designers are what I was.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's that's a good way.
Have you done any consulting work at all since you've been retired?
No.
It's been about 12 years now.
Yeah, I haven't had any desire to.
No desire to.
No. McMahon a couple of times has said there, you know, that I could do.
Some
consulting work. And if I felt better and my back felt better, I probably might be interested in it.
Yeah.
As it is, why?
Yeah.
I just don't think about it.
Yeah. And you never did any much of your own restoring of old cars.
Yeah,
you?
I did
just a
short while ago. I
really?
I bought a 66 Mustang.
Really?
I've always liked the Mustang of those 3 years, 64, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one that was very clean, no rust in it, and no dents in it even, and I had it repainted and re-chromed all the bright work and new interior in it and carpeting and everything. It was a really nice car, and that was only a couple of years ago.
Mm. What happened?
I sold it. I gave it away, I should say. I thought I could get a good price for it because I'd heard so much about it, but it didn't work out that way.
The market wasn't there.
No.
So too many of them?
That's it. There's so darn many of them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how many there are
until
I started looking.
They survived.
Yeah, until I started looking around. Of course, they sold 600,000 of them, I think.
Right, yeah.
And most of them must have been here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, they survived so nicely out here with the climate. And
yeah.
The absence of salt.
I'm sorry I let it go in a way, but that was probably for the best.
Some of your responsibility, you have to have a place for it out here. You have to rent another
carport.
Yeah,
I have to have another one of those carports.
Yeah.
And those are, of course, a lot of people that have cars, they have a tarpaulin cover for them, but
mm-hmm.
I could have done that.
Do you have a car now?
Yeah.
What are you driving today? What Plymouth?
Well, the Reliant. It's a boxy little thing.
But is it Reliant?
Oh, it has been, yeah.
Yeah.
It's only got about 16,000-17,000 miles on it.
The old Chrysler residual loyalty.
Well,
is still there.
I bought it because it only had 5,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And it was a good deal, so I just.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't care a bit for the looks of it or anything, but it's just.
It's just a utility car.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Transportation.
Yeah, right.
Supposing you wanted to splurge a bit and you wanted to buy something really fancy, what would you buy?
Oh, boy. That's sweet. You mean a sports car? Or
well, no, not necessarily a sports car, but a family sedan if you thought you needed one.
Well,
or
I think
a sporty coupe. Or
I think that Audi 5000. I really
that's right, you didn't
yeah.
mention that. Yeah. What do you think about American design and American manufacturing today?
Well, I think it's improved a lot. Of course, they've been copying the Japanese and
the Europeans.
And the Europeans, yeah.
Why not? You can't
yeah.
argue with
success.
At least
they're copying the right things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of the new Ford Renaissance and styling?
Well, I think that's a move in the right direction, too. And I haven't had a chance to really evaluate that Taurus. I've seen it up close in the showroom, but I like to get back and, you know,
yeah.
see a car. But it did impress me as looking a little bit bloated, but
mm-hmm.
but definitely they're in the right direction. They're getting more aerodynamic and
mm-hmm.
cleaner, yeah,
softer and rounder.
Yeah.
What do you think about the General Motors' resistance to that trend? They've kept
well.
They've kept their boxing.
Yeah, I think they'll resist only so long. How about that Buick Wildcat?
Of course, that's futuristic.
Oh yeah, but I mean that sure is
yeah.
sure is round.
Sure, soft and round.
Yeah.
I think probably with a change of administration, there'll be a change in design.
Is there one coming up?
I think Mr. Rybicki will retire this year. Yes.
Oh. Huh. Where does Jordan fit in?
Jordan should be the heir apparent.
Yeah.
If all goes well.
Yeah.
But then there may be something else coming.
He's quite an impressive looking guy, isn't he?
Have you ever met him?
No, but I've seen him. I saw him at a. Oh, they had a, two, 3 years ago, they had an Italian, sort of an Italian design show out at Design Center, Art Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you went up to?
Yeah, I went up to see that. Yeah.
And he was there, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't meet him, but I saw him.
Yeah. Well, you keep tabs on the industry, especially the design trends. And
oh, yeah.
In general, you find them interesting and
I follow all the cars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I haven't lost that yet.
American Motors seems to be sort of hanging on. Not a Dick Teague left. There's nothing
new. This letter I got from Dick.
Your occasional encounter with Brooke Stevens. What do you think of him as a designer?
Well, not too much.
What was the, your reservation? What were your reservations about?
His stuff wasn't. It wasn't what I call automotive a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
But he did one car for Studebaker that I thought was quite nice. The only thing I didn't like about it was the wheels. That was a minor thing. You could put any kind of wheel discs on it. But it had clean lines. It was quite a graceful car.
Apparently he did something. He apparently did the Comanche this year. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, the new American Motors.
I wonder why Dick did it.
Well, I think he was a consultant. That's
oh,
right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. But he had a long history of association with American Motors.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ted Peach. It's been a delight talking to you, and you've had a long and very remarkable career.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave. It's really been a lot of fun for me. Because, like I say, I'm kind of a little isolated out here as far as automobile people are concerned.
Well, you did a good job of recollecting.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I have to write this thing up.
Yeah, I do. Let's see how much we got of that.